healthy.
Don't collapse on me yet. Stay on your feet. We're going to go to in the blue hymnal again to page number 333. It's just like His great love. 333 in the blue hymnal. Everyone there? A friend I have called Jesus, who love is strong and true, and never fails of His blood, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of His, and will I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to Him. The sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. Sometimes the clouds of trouble beat in the sky above. I cannot see my Savior's blood. That cloud is wondrous love. But He from heaven never sung that before. So a few of you are like I am. I had never sung this one before either. I like it. It's a good hymn. Let's go to verse number 4.
Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all His care and tenderness for this poor life of mine.
It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus along the way. It's just like His great love.
Thank you. You may be seated now.
Brother Jonathan, can you turn on the projector? We have there's a slideshow right in the middle of the screen there, the 2020 slideshow. And we're just going to take a few minutes and highlight the history of Faith Baptist Church, and starting in Marmora, and then going to Seaville, then also First Baptist Church here in Northfield. So starting in 1964, First Baptist with Pastor Wells, and then my dad starting Faith Baptist in 1975. So going through the two churches' histories and then how they merged in 1993. So I know this will be informative for many, and I always try to update it each year, so there will be new pictures in there as well. And we also want to recognize Pastor Mel Hall for his longtime support of our church over the years. And we want to present him with a special plaque from the church, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We want to give that to Pastor Hall for his
treasures in heaven. Oh people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh listen people, hear the Master say, go on and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh people, lay up your treasures in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever, evermore.
Saw the people there, tied up in worry and burdened with care. He said, seek first the kingdom and you will see.
The things that will last for eternity, come and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh listen people, hear the Master say, come on and lay up your treasures in heaven.
Some people trust in their silver and gold. They put their faith in the wealth they hold. But fortunes will fade and kingdoms fall.
So put your trust in the Lord of all. Won't you lay up your treasures in heaven? Oh people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh listen people, hear the Master say, come on and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh people, lay up your treasures in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever, ever.
Sister and my brother, this train is bound for glory, this train. This train doth carry my mother, father, sister, and my brother. This train
is bound for glory. This train
is bound for glory.
This train is bound for glory.
This train is bound for glory. This train.
Ezekiel saw the wind.
When the
Jerusalem, just like John. I want to be ready. learn just like John. When I reach that heavenly goal, walk in Jerusalem just like John. Wash my sins and be made whole. Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
All right, we just want to direct your attention quickly to our bulletin. We are just about out of time, but we're thankful for... It's good to recount history because we'll be doomed to repeat bad history if we don't realize our true history. And that's what America is going through right now. We have a choice to make as a nation. Are we going to stay with the Christian principles of the Word of God, or are we going to go to uncharted territory where we've never been and leave the founding freedoms that God has given us? And so we want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? Brother Hodge, we'll get you a bulletin. We need a couple other ushers to help us. Paul, can you give us a hand? Thank you. And Brother Rivera, can you give us a hand with the bulletins as well? And if you need one, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Angel has been helping us for the last 6 weeks. Angel, can you stand up for us? He's been helping us at the Wednesday Ministries. So he's our newest addition there to encourage Pastor Logan, Sister Carol, and Hodges and myself, and so we're thankful God has sent Angel to us each Wednesday now, helping with those outreach ministries, and what a blessing he's been. And he just got saved a couple months ago. Thankful for his love for God. Then also be in prayer for Elsie. She has a foot infection. Be in prayer for Patty. She's in at Shore Memorial Hospital, and she's reacted to the chemo treatment a bit. It was having symptoms of that. So pray that they can find one that will work for her. And then also pray for my brother in China there in the in that area near where the coronavirus is. So pray for their safety. Then pray also for my other brother Jason. He's going to back to Slovakia on Tuesday, flying out from Pittsburgh to Slovakia. So pray for Jason, Adele, and their three boys as they go back to the mission field. They were here for 6 month furlough. Then next week we have Instruments of Glory Sunday. Paul is inviting all those who play an instrument to come and sit near the front with him and to start picking that instrument back up and shaking the rust off and getting back into playing. And we'd love to have you join us here at Northfield Baptist to worship the Lord with us in song as well. So bring your instrument next Sunday. And if you would like to practice, the songs are in there, the song numbers. And we have Living Hymns hymn book you can actually take home from the other room. So just see me or Paul, and they're right in a box right in the flower room there. We'll give you one to take home to start practicing. Then we also are having a progressive dinner Friday, February 28th, a three-course meal. We have two of the three courses taken, but one did not work out for someone. So we have the open course, the soup and salad course, the first course. Or if you don't want to do soup and salad, if you'd rather do appetizers, that is now open. So if anyone would like to host the appetizer course, that's Friday, February 28th. It'll be starting around 6 or 6:30. So see me if you would like to, or see Wellington if you'd like to start with that course, host that at your home. Then the other two courses will be Brother Jerry and Sister Mimi's house in Egg Harbor Township will be the main course, and then dessert course at our house next door at the parsonage. Looking forward to that. Then our young people are getting ready for their competitions with Master Clubs in April, and teens, get ready. Teens, start getting ready for Teen Talents for Christ right here, April 4th. And we're opening up new venues this year. We have a vocal solo, duet, trio, and quartet opening, as well as instrumental solo as well. So if you know how to play an instrument, you can compete against our church, against your church. We're possibly going to have another church there. So then we'll need adult judges for that as well. So anyone that can be here for that day to help judge the music competition or help judge the teaching competitions or the boys preaching competition or Christian art and crafts. It'll be a mini fine arts day. Christian Fine Arts Day. So we're looking forward to that. April 4th, Saturday, April 4th at 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. So we look forward to that. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. And instrumental duets, trios, or quartets are allowed as well. You can only do one of each. So if you sing, you can do one singing group, and you can do one instrumental group, but we can't have more than one due to time. So any of the teens, 7th through 12th graders, who want to take part in that. This time, we'll ask. Let us bow together in prayer as we give to the Lord and ask Him to bless the tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Brother Dan. Amen. come back up and lead for us. And also a good update for Brother Bob Wells. We've been praying for his ears, and we praise the Lord that his ears, he can now hear again. So God has answered our prayers, and he's just probably still a little under the weather. Is that what it is? Okay. Okay. Do you see him getting a little better, or? Okay. All right, let's keep Brother Bob in prayer as well. But we praise the Lord, he can hear now. And now let's pray for him to get over the sickness. And as the song said, all glory to the Lord. Praise the Lord for all he's done in our church.
Just Pastor Jeremy referred back to the song that we just heard. And the thing that I heard there, where his blood can wash away each stain.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what it is in our life, in our past. His blood washes it all away. It's all about the blood.
Amen.
And unfortunately, we don't hear enough sermons about the blood anymore or sing enough songs about the blood. But that's all of life. The song that we're going to sing now is in the Red Book. It's very real. Because how many of you ever had days or times that you just felt totally bewildered and you didn't know what to do, how to turn, or how are you going to deal with a situation in your life? Well, that's a time when you come right to this song, and this is the prayer from your heart. Page number 430, Lord, I need you. 430 in your Red Book, Lord, I need you. As we sing this together, let's be singing that prayerfully and with a reminder that how much we need him every day in our lives. If you would stand once again, please. In the Red Book, number 430.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings go my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows
Pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Elkins Park, our closest sister church all through the years, if he would come and bring God's word to us.
I can't run to the pulpit anymore. Just walk a little slower. At least I'm here. Amen. But I'm excited. I hope you are too, what God has done. I've seen what God has done over the years here. And I thank God for the way he's blessing your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, Brother Jerry, I like your voice. We had a radio ministry for 10 years. I would like to have you as an announcer. But radio ministries are old dark ages, okay? But remember that, Ernie? Ernie, you got to sit up with that. Okay. A lot of memories here. A lot of memories. The theme for the time I'm with you is this. You can jot it down. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And it's the year 2020, so you think of vision. And again, we preach a message on the blind man being healed, getting his vision, but he got his spiritual vision, which was much more important than the physical, and I thank God for that. Again, there's a chorus that says, where he leads me, I will follow, and that's what I like to deal with this afternoon, and I'll go on as long as I can, because I know you're all hungry. I'm given the assignment to preach after you eat, which is going to be a tough one, okay? But where he leads me, I will follow. What a truth that is. You know, Christ gathered the disciples, and the first thing he told them in a few places in Scripture, but one is in Luke 9, verse 23. I'd like you to turn there. If you have your Bibles, Luke 9:23. Christ is talking to his disciples. Now, learn one thing about this. A disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who has gotten saved through the precious blood of the Savior, amen. And I thank God for that. But it's more than birth. There's a whole life to be lived. And have taken the first step of obedience in the Christian life is baptism. Bible baptism, not religious baptism, okay? And that's who he's speaking to. And if you're here today, the door is open for you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to accept Christ as your personal Savior if you haven't done so. And it's good to hear. People say, I've gotten saved for a year and I'm serving, amen. What a joy it is to be in a church like this. And if you're saved and you haven't taken the first step of obedience in Bible baptism, we encourage you to do that. The tank's not full, but if you want to get baptized today, I'm sure Pastor would fill it up. Amen. Okay, so that needs to be taken, If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's what you are. Saved first, and then a testimony to the Lord of salvation and believer's baptism. And so that's who Christ is talking to. He's talking to the first disciples. And he gives a short verse of scripture, Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man, see, it's open to any disciple. To you today is a disciple of Jesus Christ. If any man will come after me, let him, first of all, deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. It's just not the start, but it's the finish I'm going to deal with today, following the Lord Jesus Christ. So as he gives this charge to the disciples, and it's fitting that I'm here for your 26th anniversary. Is it here? Your history is you had a church planter. Seeing the slides. 1974, 1975. Started in a memorial. I think I was in, pretty sure I preached in, or taught in every one of those buildings, and I slept in one. We were going fishing with a group from our church from the city, and we slept in that place of memoria, a home of memoria, and somebody got saved on a fishing trip, by the way. And I praise God for that. Yet history had a church planter, Pastor Rice's father. And he continued to the end. I didn't know the end was going to be so soon. And I can remember I was preaching on New Year's Day. The note was given to me. I thought it was his father, Abe Rice. And so we rushed down here and learned that it was Pastor Rice. But praise God, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And he finished strong. If you jot down or think of it, in Acts 20:24, Paul saying, but none of these things move me, neither I count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I had received of the Lord, of the gospel of the grace of God. He finished strong. Paul again says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, I'm now ready to be offered. You know, I'm 84, but I need to keep growing in the Lord. Amen. I want to finish strong. And Paul had the same thing on his heart. He said this, for I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the fight. And that's the kind of testimony I want to have. And it just doesn't happen by standing still. It means to keep on going for the Lord. Amen. I might be going a little slower, but I'm still going forward. Amen. And so your founding pastor finished strong. And planted that church memorial, merged, as you saw, in 1997, I guess it was, 93. And so the foundation has been being built all these years. The key to your future, to have a vision, is to continue doing what you need to be doing that got you this far. You don't have to do anything different. There's a lot of churches now that are taking a different approach to things. Kind of an intellectual kind of thing with all the trappings. Praise God. This is a church that has stood strong over the years and to continue in it. Amen. You see, this area is one reason that God enabled me to start a church in the area. I wanted to start a church that was different. Different for the Bible's sake. And this church was started to make a difference. And it's made a difference, praise God, over the years. But, you know, We need to know our history. We can learn the things we need to continue doing, the things we ought not to do. But our present depends on what kind of a future we want to have. And so, if we're going to have a vision to continue, I'd like to give you a summary. 3 points of what it takes to have a vision for the future. Number one, it takes courage. It takes courage. The passage we read says, to minister and continue to deny self. You know, I realize it. My greatest enemy, I look at him every morning in the mirror. That's me. You know, Paul had it right under inspiration of God saying, in me dwells no good thing. Only God can make things happen in my life. And so I'm my greatest enemy. And so the first step is to deny self. To deny self. And that takes courage. Whenever there's courage, there's an interesting word in the Bible. It's called encouragement. To get encouragement. Tremendous thing. I personally am encouraged by what's been happening here over the years. Thank God I was around to see it. Thank God for the ministry God has given to me, the encouragement to see as that work goes on in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. So it takes encouragement. But you know, you can't get any greater encouragement than from the Lord. You know, I think I mentioned this passage once when I preached here in the book of Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. And God had a person to fill the gap, and that was Joshua. And God gave him the encouragement that he would need. You know, I look at these two young men here. Joshua had Aaron and Kerr to hold up his hand to have victory. You're Aaron and you're her. Okay, just in case I go down. Okay. So God knew he needed encouragement. Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law. You know, there's a cost to be paid when you do the word of God. There's a cost to be paid. You're not going to be loved by this world. If you love the world, love of the Father is not in you. You don't do it to please the world. You do it to please God. Amen. And so, according to all the law, which or the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded, thee turn not from it to the right, to the left, that thou mayest prosper. I like that word, prosper. Whithersoever thou goest, this book of the law, you're speaking about the word of God, shall not be part of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Two words there, very important. According to all that is written therein, for then shall I make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only time success comes before work is not in the dictionary. You work to get success. Work at being what God wants you to do. And it takes courage. And God encourages Joshua. He encourages us with the word of God. I like that verse that you gave me this morning. I thank you so much for it. I'm humbled and not deserving of that, but I thank God for it. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That is on the stone of my wife's grandfather. I can remember him saying that all the time, using that verse of scripture. To those that love God are called according to his purpose. All things aren't good. the Christian's going to turn out okay. And so it takes courage, because the world is not for you. It's not for you and I. It says so in the book of Acts chapter 4. It talks about Peter and John preaching the word of God, and they are punished for their preaching. And it goes on to say, and they slur them by saying, what are these unlearned and ignorant men? What do they think they're doing? I qualify to be one of the Lord's servants. I'm unlearned and I'm ignorant. But praise God, God can use that. He can use it if you present Him to lead you. He goes on to say, we ought to obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 4, verse 19, precious verse of Scripture. The world hates us. John 15, verse 18, it hates us because it hated the Lord first. I don't have time to read all these, but good to mark in your, if you're a Bible marker, taking notes, John 15, 18 and 19. The world persecutes us. 2 Timothy 3, 12. And all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now listen, I want to stop right here. Don't get paranoid here on me. Don't get paranoid. You continue to follow because, number one, we're on the winning side. There's a hymn that's in some hymn books. It's a great hymn. I heard it preached by, sung by an evangelist on his dying words. I'm on the winning side. Christian, you're on the winning side. Isn't it great to be on the winning side? Okay? We're on the winning side. And another hymn that I love. Victory in Jesus. You know, I saw that the various representatives from Georgia sang Victory in Jesus together. Did you see that? No, you don't see that on the news. There was a whole host of politicians singing Victory in Jesus, one of my favorite songs. I got a lot of favorites. That's one. So don't get paranoid on it. Again, praise God. There's victory in Jesus because we're on the winning side. Amen. Okay? And nobody can take that from us. Stay in your Bible. And you'll be secure that you're on the winning side. It's not an emotional thing. It's a spiritual thing. So how you get spiritual understanding is go to the Spirit-filled book. Amen. That's the Word of God. And so it takes courage. It takes courage. So deny yourself, he says to his disciples. The hardest person for you to deny is yourself. Amen. You know that. It's true. You know. Because the self doesn't want any good thing to come in your life. It kind of wants to distract you, not get serious about things that you know you need to do. But praise God. I thank God for the way He, a lot of times as a pastor, people think that, you know, just you're all charged up when you go out calling and everything. You know that some nights I didn't feel like going calling? Oh, no. Yeah. But I kicked myself out the door. I remember one case, one of our young family's a deacon, who became a fellow came a deacon in our church. His wife got saved, and I said, "Well, when your husband's ready to talk to me, let me know." She called up on one of those nights. Oh man, I had some kind of a intestinal virus. Oh no, perfect excuse. I went out. And it was like picking fruit off a tree. He got saved that night. I'm not patting myself on the back because myself didn't want me to go out. But I had to deny myself. I'm so glad I did. God taught me a lesson there. God taught me a lesson. It's not if you feel like going calling. It's you ought to go calling, amen. And soul winning. Courage. The second command God gives is, take up your cross daily. Oh, my cross is my job. My cross is my husband or my wife. No, you got it all wrong. He's talking about the cross of service, serving Christ. And it's not a once in a lifetime thing. If you make a decision today, it's daily. Every day, pick up your cross and follow Him. It talks about the conviction to serve Christ. It takes conviction to serve Christ. I can remember very really that I and my wife, I didn't know my wife was following me, but invitation, I came forward. It was a Romans 12, 1 and 2 message. And she was following me. Praise God, she continues to follow me. She followed me in the ministry, amen. Now, I got to know one thing. We had 6 kids when I started seminary. We didn't take a vote in our family. I would have lost. Praise God. She followed. She'd never been that far away from home in her life. She followed. I thank God for giving me a wife that followed me as I followed Christ. Amen. As I followed Christ. But it took conviction to pick up our cross daily. There's no part-time disciples. Amen. Can I have an amen? No part-time, because it's daily. Every single day. Every single day. I thank God for the young men in the church. You know. Hope God gives you an appetite to be a pastor. Amen. Don't look for a lightning bolt from heaven. It says if you desire the office of a bishop, that word desire is a Greek word apathume, which means have an appetite. You need to. How do you develop your appetite? By reading the book. By being around Christians who can take you further than you're going. And that gives you an appetite, amen. But let me tell you this. I'm prepared for seminary at the age of 39. God enabled me to start a church when I was 41. That's why I felt sorry for the preacher boys. They whined and whined about being too busy and everything. They knew that I had 7 kids. And I went to seminary. And praise God. God gives you conviction. And I thank God for following. You know, I had conviction, but when I went to seminary, started studying some movements and so forth, and in seminary, this is out of print right now. You should have seen the first tract that I designed when I was in seminary. One of the fellows there was a printer. It kind of looked like Stone Age kind of a tract. This got dressed up a little. Today it would be in Technicolor and smooth, okay? This is out of stock. What is a biblicist? I became a biblicist. Your founding pastor is a biblicist. Your present pastor is a biblicist, amen. A biblicist is a person who knows and takes the words of the Bible literally and authoritatively and applies them to faith and practice. It's not an academic exercise. It's putting it into motion. And that's where you're going to. That's what conviction brings you. I can remember that when Pastor Rice Sr. was this merger was being conceived and so forth, he put it out right on the table what his convictions were. He said, "Mel, I don't know whether they're going to accept that." And they did, and I'm so thankful they did. And I know they are too. See? Because it's just not another church. It's a church that is a biblicist church, amen. And another tract that's out of print. Discover the difference. We're not a better church. We're a different church, amen. When you got saved, you're no better than anybody else, but you're different. Because God saved you, amen. He's going to say, he saved you, and you're going to have different likes and dislikes. You're going to live a life that's a life of conviction. Oh, sure, we get sidetracked sometimes. We get distracted. But we need to get back on the track all the time. Conviction to serve Christ. Conviction to serve Christ. It takes conviction. And the crowd's not always with you. An illustration you probably heard, Bible illustration probably heard many times. But Caleb and Joshua are two of the 12 spies that went into the promised land. They all came back with a positive report. Two of them said, "We need to go then." 10 said, "No way. You need to stay back." It's a conviction for Joshua and Caleb. And they're ready to stone Moses for following conviction in his life. And so it takes conviction. Listen, if you're operating a Christian life by convenience, you're going to be sidetracked all the time. But if you're working to a conviction, you're going to be in the Word of God. You're going to apply it. And you're going to practice it. And you're going to let it direct your life if you're going to follow Christ. Amen. It takes conviction. Hey, listen. In Acts chapter 7, it talks about a deacon by Stephen who again preached the Word of God. And how was it received? They stoned him to death. Just an illustration. Do you have conviction that strong? We see people, the first thing they want to do when they get hold of Christians in a hostile territory, you want to save your life or you want to denounce Christ? You got to denounce Christ to save your life. It took conviction for Stephen. He stood up. He got stoned to death. I believe it was the happiest stoning he ever had. As you read Scripture, he was happy that he finished and again was following with conviction his Lord. But you know, there's a happy ending to that. You know, Paul of Tarsus was there. He was holding the garments of those who were stoning Stephen. Look it up for yourself in Acts chapter 7. And in chapter 9 we see Saul of Tarsus becoming Paul the apostle, amen. Amen. It took the life of Stephen. And then seeing his conviction, you know, somebody needs to see your conviction, Christian. You don't have to shout it and pat yourself on the back, but you need to live your life of conviction, amen. Somebody said, "I want what they have." I hear so many times, "Well, I knew a Christian once, so I don't want anything to do with it." Hey, listen, you need to be the kind of Christian that somebody will look at and say, "I want to be like that." Too many times I've heard, "But this Christian," I don't want to hear it. If they are a Christian, they're still my family. I'm not going to defend them. I'm not going to stop living by conviction, amen. Courage, conviction, the last one is commitment to continue to follow Christ. Christ said, "Follow me." You need courage. You need conviction. And you need commitment to follow Christ to the end. Lord, he said that Pastor Rice Sr., at his memorial service, had the privilege of doing the graveside. And I said, one of the heroes of the faith is going to be with his Lord. And you know what, folks? I saw the lives that he had touched. What was it? A small church. That parking lot was filled with cars. People were all over the place, but the lives that were touched. And his commitment to follow Christ. You know, in Matthew 4, I'm breaking in a new Bible. I left my Bible, my preaching Bible somewhere. Anybody comes across it to your Christian friends, tell them to give it back. I have every message that was preached, the date it was preached, and so forth, in that Bible. So this is a bigger one, and so forth. But in Matthew chapter 4, I'll get there in a second, in verses 19 and 20. I'm not there yet. Okay. Christ speaking to his disciples. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They dropped everything. You know, I can remember going to Pastor Jordan. I'm so thankful for the men that came into my life for certain points. And I can remember my wife and I gave my life a full-time service, and we were busy as lay people. I went into his office. He's an early morning person. I was an early morning person. I was in sales. We met at 5 a.m. That was our meeting time. I said, Chief, I said, what is full-time service? He used this verse of scripture. He says, they left their nets. You need to get trained. Hey, listen, I wasn't an A student. I wasn't a high B student. I was going on to a graduate school. God made the difference, amen. God made the difference. I say, if I can make it, there isn't a person here that can't make and have the commitment that God wants you to have. God makes up the difference, amen. He makes up the difference. And I give all glory to God for that. But you know, I've lost two of them. You get this old, you start losing some good friends. When I was younger than me, another pastor in South Jersey by the name of Dennis Higgins, the Harbor Baptist Church, he went on to be with the Lord. Came down with a cancer last year, the end of last year. Just recently, Pastor Martin's dad, Jim Martin, who I knew personally, he was one of the first people I met when I went out with my family out to seminary. We became good friends. He went on to be with the Lord this year. What I'm saying is, who's going to fill the gap? Some people need to step up. Get serious. See the need. Go on for God. Hey, listen, I'm talking to Christians now, but if you're here and you're not saved, let me tell you something. The best day that you had in the Lord cannot be compared to the worst day you'll have when you're with the Lord. But you're not with the Lord. You're eternally separated from Him. And so I think to continue, there needs to be following those that follow Christ. Maybe you never considered that, the his ministry. Put yourself in the right setting. Put yourself in the right setting. Romans 14:13 says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay? Don't put yourself in a surrounding where you're going to fall. Put yourself in a surrounding where you're going to follow Jesus. Amen. And praise God. Well, where he leads me, I will follow. How many times have we sung that chorus? Do we really mean it? I think we sing choruses and they go in one ear and out the other. They go out of our mouth, but they don't have residence in our life. I will follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is going to take courage. It's going to take conviction. And it's going to take commitment. In conclusion, it takes the members, the disciples, the Northfield Baptist Church, who are courageous, convicted, and committed disciples to follow Jesus starting today. Starting today, I trust to the invitation that you'll again take that challenge. You might not know what God's going to do with your life, but I'll tell you what, in the hands of God, it's better than anything else you can be. In the hands of God. I'm going to ask Pastor Rice to come. He's going to lead us in the invitation this morning. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we've just given the tip of the iceberg to what it takes to follow Jesus. Lord, may these words be applied, Lord. I made decisions in my own life from this message, Lord. I pray that there might be others that make a decision. And we'll walk this aisle this morning to be that one that by God's grace to stand in the gap wherever it might be, but in full-time service, whether it's in the ministry, whether it's in the working force, whatever it is, that they might come. And Lord, if there be someone here today that knows not Christ as their personal Savior, might have questions about what it takes to receive Christ. Or maybe there's somebody here that is saved but never been biblically baptized, never been taking the first step of following Christ, that they might come forward and become members of this exciting family, again, at Northfield Baptist Church. Thank you for that. Lord, I put that in a form of a prayer. And if you're here today and God has touched your heart and you say, I need to make a difference, if God will let me do that in my life, would you slip your hand up and put it down very quickly, very quietly? Yes, amen. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pastor's going to leave an invitation hymn. You meet him at the front. He'll be here to meet you and encourage you, and get somebody with an open Bible to show you how that you can meet the Lord's will for your life.
Amen. Let us turn in our hymn book. 458. Let's all stand together as we sing 458 in the blue hymn book. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you come? If you just need to come and surrender some things in your life, would you come and kneel at the altar, surrender some things to the Lord? Make this day as the day of change. Back to giving it everything you got. Or maybe you want to get baptized, or maybe you want to join the church. Come take you by the hand and confess. I'm going to get baptized around this way. Would you come as we sing 458? Draw me near.
I am thine, O Lord.
Oh,
across from Midland Center Square is Linwood Green Shopping Center and Suite 2. So it's, I think, the second building right in there. Linwood Green. Please come with us to the restaurant. Any other specifics, Carol, on that?
The food will be served around 4 o'clock. So you have a little bit of time to get there. But the food will be served at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And if you didn't pay, I give the money to Sister Gibson for that. All right. I'm going to ask my stepdad, Steve Baker, would you please close us?